I hope that this song can be translated into Spanish. I don't know.
It's not translated, but...
No, it's not. I hope so. I think it's in Chinese. At least, not this one, but the first two. I hope someone can translate this one as well. Well, brothers, let us continue. And I must come back to reiterate that, to my feeling, if there is a pressing need, or rather I would say the most immediate and pressing need today for the Lord's testimony, the Lord's recovery, is the bringing in of materials. The bringing in of materials. We have many needs, all kinds of need. We need more truth, we need more life, we need more, many things. And we do our best to attend to those needs. But I'm here telling you the most pressing, the most immediate, and the greatest need today facing us is to bring in materials from the mountains to build God's house. The size of the house, which really means the expression, the testimony of God, we must not think only depends, let me rephrase it, the adequacy, the impact, the of the expression of God, and that is the Lord's testimony. We must not have the idea that it only resides in quality. You follow me? A lot of truth, a lot of life. Yes, that is the essence of our testimony. Without truth, without life, there's no testimony. The church is what? Is the house of the living God. So life is most important. And it is the truer and base, the pillar of, and base of the truth, of the reality. So truth is essential. This is the inner constitution and therefore the outward expression of a living God and also of his truth. No doubt about that. But I must say that relatively speaking, this is not our present most urgent need. Our urgent need is increase. Our urgent need is to bring in materials to build the house so that this house would have a larger expression. With all these riches and all these things that we have been given, this testimony of the Lord in this country should not have 25,000 people. In a country of 325 million today, it should not. Should be tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands. It should be that way. So the idea of being small was something that we sort of pick up in the early days of this matter being a remnant, yeah? That we're not here to be big, we're not here to be great, we're not here just to be huge like Christianity. We rather remain small, hidden. We're just a gem, you know, just a, what do you call it, the treasure in the field, hard to find. It's like the more hidden we are, the better we are. We somewhat have inherited that thought. And there is relevance to that thought. I'm not saying, look, the minority return from Babylon to Jerusalem. So it is, those are called remnants. And so the Lord's recovery is always in the principle of remnants, not the majority. But then, brothers, today, we're light years from majority, okay? And even our minority is almost invisible. So small that there's a mismatch of what the Lord wants to display, right? As a kind of expression of his truth, his life, in a group of people to be his testimony. It's just too minute, too small, and not matching. So no matter how we grow, brothers, you trust me, we will not be big, no matter how we grow. Even if we have several hundred thousand saints in the recovery, we'll still be very small. All right? There's 144,000, right, in Revelation. It's a small number. So we are not just to gain numbers for numbers. We can't compete in that way, so to speak. But if we turn around and say, numbers don't matter. We just love the Lord. We're full of truth, full of life. Well, I think that is also very misguided. Very misguided. Because if you read the Bible, the thought of increase and growth, even numeric, is always considered a blessing, a divine blessing in offspring, right? When someone is cursed, his womb is, or her womb is closed. It's a sign of a curse when there is no descendants, when you have no children. It's a sure sign of a curse. And that's why Hannah prayed for Samuel, because apparently, at least compared to this other wife of her husband, who had children, was a curse. She was and she was bitter because of that. And she prayed that Jehovah would release her from that curse. And so, brothers, don't have the thought that the smaller, the better. Don't have that thought. All right? I did not say the bigger, the better. I did not say that. But to have just the thought, the smaller, to be small is right, to be small is good, the small is this and that, that thought is neither right. We need more saints. Now, look today, counting once a month coming, we have 3,000 saints right now, just almost exactly 3,000 saints. You count the number that currently that comes to our church meetings in Northern California, average means what? Every week. This is not every month. Every week you count, we're down to about 2,400 or so. I think I'm correct. 2,400. Now, just close your eyes and imagine. You open your eyes, and in Northern California, we have 10,000 saints. Okay? 10,000 saints on Lord's Day. How would you feel? Will you be depressed? We're too big here. We really shouldn't be so large. We should be quality and small. We should be little gems, hard to find because we're hidden in the field. How would you feel? I can tell you how Brother Lee would feel. He'll be dancing. He'll be dancing. He'll be so happy. Is it just numbers? Just so we got numbers? It's not that. It's about testimony. It's about the strength of our testimony. That includes size. It must include size. Otherwise, the Father of this universe does not need a universal great household of millions and millions and billions. He just can have one. And the Father should be very happy. He's called the firstborn Christ. But why did Christ die and go to the cross and resurrect? It's clear in John 12. the seed, what? Is sown. That's the Lord. Am I right? So that what? He will bear many grains. It is in the Father's thought that there will be many grains and not just one. And that one, in fact, should need to die so that many grains can be born. Now, if you don't think number is important to the Father, there's something wrong. Something wrong. But some elders, they have no heart for this. They just want their little flock, you know, like a little pastor. You know, I'm a pastor of this church with about 30 people. Very happy. Some die, some born, you know, about 30, that's about right. You know, I won't get too busy. We don't have too many problems. I can still play golf. And I'm a happy pastor. I'm a very happy pastor. So many elders are just like that. So their church never grows. And they don't sweat. They don't feel a thing. They sleep very well at night. Let me tell you, Brother Lee, never sleep well in that kind of condition. He's laboring while he was writing the recovery version, while he was giving messages. In his heart is the increase. What can we do? He is very much for the increase. And that's why he is very much for statistics. Statistics. I think I gave you also some material about the importance of statistics. In other words, you have to do it like a business. You have to plan. You're like a farmer. Farming is a business. You've got to plan things out. And, you know, weather you cannot control, but everything else you can. And you sweat, you labor in order to produce a harvest. So I, like in Northern California, I would say right now, this is the immediate, most urgent need. Now, our way of gaining this increase is not the so-called way of the evangelicals, which is some kind of campaign or some kind of crusade. They call it crusade, some kind of, you know, event and so on. I'm not saying these things don't have their place, but we're not in any kind of evangelical movement to just get people, you know. And sorry to say, many that were gained eventually got lost again. We're here to what? Okay, there are really two things that when Brother Lee talked about this would always emphasize. And that's the way we take. That's the way we take. Number one, the way of fruit-bearing. Fruit-bearing is not campaign. It's not movement. Fruit-bearing is a life labor to bear fruit. It takes time. It takes work. It takes perseverance to bear a so-called remaining fruit. The other side thing, this other side, is what is shepherding. Shepherding means you just don't bring someone in and you say, praise the Lord, the end, done. No, we all know to get a sinner saved is just but the first step. Now you need to feed. Am I right? Now you need to visit. Now you need to care. Now you need to pray for them. Now you need to do many things to foster this lamb or this little lamb so that they would grow. They would grow up in truth, in life, in so many things, and even to become a living and functioning member in the church of God, in the church life. And so that is the other thing. So I will tell you, fruit bearing and shepherding underscores our increase effort. not campaign, not movement, not instant fruit. No. We are here committed to a long-term labor on a single person. And so the need today, when we talk about a universal priesthood of the gospel, is not just stir the saints up to go and just do something for a weekend. Even GTCA is a bit event-driven. We need that, and it's very useful, but that is still only event-driven. After they're gone, who is going to visit the names? You know, BFA give you tons of names. Nobody visits them. Then what? Nothing happens. That's just an event that comes and goes. No follow-up. That really means, in the end, you can be stirred up to do something, but your heart is still absent. That's why I talk about the heart. Nothing can replace the heart when it comes to parenthood. A mother. It's all about heart. I mean, even a mother could be kind of a poor mother, meaning they're not the best mother with all the best things. But she's a mother with a heart. She'll raise up a child. But you are not a mother. You are some kind of hired whatever it is. You don't have the heart. You can have the best books. You can have the best education. You cannot raise up that child properly because you really don't have you're not a parent. You're just doing your job. And this is why I spend my time on the heart this morning. And we need to speak to the saints again and again about this until they're bothered. We need to be bothered. We need to be touched. We need to feel very sorrowful and repentant of the lack of compassion and heart for people, for the lost, for the needy, the blind and the poor. So we got to start there. But I have to use this time to get on something else, and that is our way is fruit-bearing and shepherding, which means we need to help the saints, train the saints, that in the church life, it's not just about coming to meetings, or cleaning the hall, or doing this and that, which, again, are legitimate and even necessary. But that is not our main job or as a priest. Our main job, every healthy saint, is bearing fruit and shepherding lambs. I wrote an article in Chinese. I did, in the early 90s. I just had to, based on these two things, based on John 21, you know, the seashore, Tiberias Sea, you know that story. So Peter was netting the fish in, and then when we went to shore, the Lord talked to him about sheep feed my lambs and feed my sheep. So I said in my article, this is to the saints, every normal and healthy saint should have a fish on one arm and a little lamb on the other arm. If I see that, you're okay. You're healthy. You're healthy. Let me ask you today, you, brothers, you, and then the saints, how many? Of course, I'm not restricting to just one, but I'm saying minimally, you can give me name without lying, okay? Just kind of fudging it. No, it has to be for real, okay? Who is that fish that you're trying to fish in? And the name of that lamb that you are caring for, this young one or this person. If you are like this always, you know, Brother Lee talk to the sisters. Sisters, you always should have two or three under your care. Amen. He meant young people, he meant saints, whatever. And if every saint are like this, I tell you, they will bear remaining fruit. There will be fruit, and there will be increase. Now, we do need to stir up the gospel spirit. The gospel, at the end of the day, brothers, is a fire. The gospel is not so much even just a message. It is good news. The gospel is really not a method or a technique. In the end, it's a fire. When that fire burns, people get saved. So Brother Lee say, don't go and preach. Go and burn people. That's what he meant. He doesn't mean shout at people. He means you have such a... Your heart is set aflame. You are just on fire within for this particular person. You pray for them so much. You're so burdened for them. Then eventually, no one else can get them saved except you can.
Amen.
Because that's your designated fruit. No one else prayed for him. You did. And when this person gets saved or finds the Lord, experiences the Lord, I tell you, no one can come close to you to share with you that joy. No one. Because you begot that person, that child, that baby. You recover that lost one. That joy is yours. Right? Brother Lee said, the two great days in the Christian life, number one, the day they got saved. Number two, the day they saved someone. I think a lot of our brothers and sisters, they say, I'm enjoying the Lord. I believe that. But I don't think they have full joy. Because I have not yet seen them bear a fruit. Years in the church life. And still going on quite okay. Still coming to the meeting, telling people how they enjoy the Lord. But I don't see a fruit in their lives. Two kinds of fruit we need to see. Number one, the fruit of the Spirit. That proves that you are really enjoying Christ. The other, the fruit of persons. That proves that you are productive. You know what I mean? That you are begetting. You are not just enjoying things for your own enrichment and benefit. Whatever intake you have of the divine riches, it's for someone else.
Amen.
It's milk for the child. But that habit, that culture is weak among us. I would at least say with the English speaking, it's over many years have become quite weakened. Quite weakened. With the Chinese, somehow their gospel spirit is a little stronger. But the English speaking is my burden. So, I would like to suggest that these days we do all the things, maintain the church life, you know, we do all the things we need to do. Brothers, start here.
Amen.
Start to labor. In your planning meetings, in your fellowship, elders, start here. To imbue the saints with such a concern for men, for humanity, with such a compassion and heart, to lift up their eyes from gazing at the navel, to look at the fields. The Lord says, look up, look up, look up from yourself and look at the fields. They are white and ready for harvest. Every saint should go to the Lord and say, Lord, what about this year?
Amen.
Who do you want me to preach the Jubilee to?
Amen.
Lord, tell me.
Amen.
Search your Rolodex, so to speak. Your family members. There's an uncle. There's a niece. Amongst your friends, the saints have friends. Neighbors. And sometimes these may not be unsaved. They may be nominal Christians, right? Or they may be seeking people. How about your colleagues at work? And of course, with the students, their classmates in campus. And I would even say down to the high schoolers, they should do this. They're not too young to also have a fish and a lamb under the arm of a high schooler. It's not too young. If you say it's too young, you are stunting their growth. You're keeping them from becoming normal. And so they grow up as a barren person. They used to live a life of a barren person, you know, like some unmarried people. At first it's hard. After a while, they passed that age. They got used to living that way. And many of them become a bit peculiar. And they have no feeling. And also even no ability to bear children. What a shame. What a shame. All the saints should realize we're not here just to enjoy ourselves. We're here to let God enjoy himself.
Amen.
By bringing offerings in the form of persons to offer to him. So Paul's word is every man, right? Teaching every man, admonishing every man, and then eventually presenting every man full grown in Christ. I would like to tell the saints, one man at a time. Don't go and be Billy Graham, okay? Be a branch and bear one fruit at a time. Two fruits. Take care of one lamb or two lambs. Faithfully. Faithfully. I'll tell you the secret to the gospel, saving people and shepherding people. I'll tell you what is the secret. The secret is patience. And perseverance. And persistence. My 3P, right? That's the secret. The secret is not you're so gifted, you know exactly what to say, you do this. No. That's not the secret. Those are needed. You need the word, you need to present something, you need to do this and that. But the secret at the end of the day is patience, persistence, and perseverance. That is how you bear fruit. So forget about the U.S. fast food culture, instant gratification kind of stuff. Forget about it. Labor, brothers and sisters. You say, oh my goodness, just labor on one, bear one fruit a year. I tell you, you bear one fruit a year. Next year you'll be four because that other person, because he's begotten by you, he pick up your habit, they will start bearing fruit. Today, we don't have grandchildren because the people that we save, you know, that come in, did not come into a fruit-bearing culture in the church life. Rather, they come into a barren culture. And it's common. And it's accepted. It's okay. No one is bothered when the church doesn't grow, doesn't increase. We're all sleep well. That culture they came into, and even they have a fire within them, it got quenched. And they become one of us, the second brother in the house. Good, dutiful, serve, do their thing, but unable to recover the prodigal. We need a huge change of culture in the local churches. To one that is out, that looks out, that is not ingrown, just always concerned with yourself, but to be always concerned with others' situation. We need to help the saints to realize the more they care for other people, the more their own condition will improve. That the more they pray for others, the more the Lord will take care of them. You remember Abraham, am I right? Is he the one? He had no, nothing, no child. But he has to pray for, is this in Egypt or not in Egypt? Where was it? Huh? So he has to pray for others first. And they have children before he gets the answer. So take care of others. Others. And you'll be taken care of. He who waters, he himself will be water also. This is the divine principle. I like the recovery to be unselfish. To be not navel-gazing. To be not just self-centered and absorbed. I like the recovery to be people-caring, outward-looking. And one of the best ways is to help the saints to reclaim the half of the Lord's Day. Not just the morning, but what? But the other half, that is just for nothing. That is called the Lord's Day, by the way. It's not your day. Saturday is your day. Lord's Day is not yours. It's the Lord's. But we use it for ourselves. I tell you, if even a quarter of the saints, a third of the saints in your church would have this kind of the three P's on a weekly basis, they make a vow to the Lord, rain or shine, themselves or with their wives or with companions or through fellowship with their small group, they will go and contact people, whether by visitation of names, BFA names, or knocking on warm doors, or visiting backslidden saints. You know what I mean? Or going to the park and contact people, or laying out a table at the mall. You just keep doing it. Let me tell you, nothing happens. Then you say, forget about it. Well, you have only done it once, and nothing happens. And you give up. You better quit. This is not your career. If you want to bear fruit, you don't do that. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. Even no results, you keep doing it. Eventually, this kind of labor, I don't even use the word work, because work is easy. Labor means toil. With this kind of toiling, the results will be there. There's too much I want to talk about. I just don't have the time, and this is not the only time. Now, you have in your hand this little outline. Don't look at it. It's just for you to study it. And we really need some training on these things, and that is what I call the organic structure or the God-ordained way. These are the two key things. This is not the heart. This is more the container, all right? Yeah. The receiving, the retention of these new ones, right? The kind of church life that we should have that is oriented towards gaining people, not oriented towards our enjoyment. The present church life we have, it's good enough for our enjoyment. We don't need to do much to it. But if we want to reorient the church, have a new culture of gaining people, gaining numbers, gaining souls, we need to have a church life that is designed that way. And this is what this outline here talks about. Okay, don't have the time, but let me be just very, very quick without referring to it. Okay, just conceptually, all right, there are these four tiers. Let me just borrow that word tier. Not in a hierarchical sense, okay? Organically. Number one, it starts with one person. It always starts with one person. The revival starts with one person. God's move starts with one person. And from this one person, it spreads to others. So in every church, there has to be one or many ones. And I wish every single leading brother is a one.
Amen.
Okay? And many saints will themselves, because of their love for the Lord, their heart for the Lord's recovery, for the Lord's interest, they will be that one.
Amen.
They're living, they're in the Jubilee, right? They're one with the Lord. Their heart is for the Lord's interest, and they will rise up to be that one. Brother Lee say the vital group starts with one who is burdened for the Lord's recovery's increase. That's the precise definition. The vital group is not about having a happy time with two of your buddies. That is not the vital group. The vital group exists to gain people, to shepherd people. Okay, so it starts with one. And I challenge you, brothers, everyone sitting here, brothers, what is to be a proper, responsible brother elder? That's it, right here. It's not making announcements. It's not planning for this and that. It's you will be one of the ones.
Amen.
And you have to go to the Lord. And by the way, there's one good book that is good for us elders, and it's called The Eldership and the God-Ordained Way. A tiny book with two messages. That is like powerful stuff for us, brothers. It is also found in one of the volumes, one of the books of the elders' training. But it is printed out in a standalone title, in a very thin book. The Eldership and the God-Ordained Way. Read that and try to practice that. That brotherly gave us the instruction already as elders. Like what I said, to go out regularly yourself. Even if nobody goes out, you go out. After lunch on Lord's Day. Because Lord's Day, most people are kind of around. Saturday, they're all busy doing their thing. You could be calling people, even you're still in your home. Am I right? And speaking to them and so you can be, there's so many names. We say we have no names. We have tons of names sitting there.
Yeah.
Last year, GTCA, that big event, and then no increase. No. See, the heart is not there. It's not the way missing. It takes a heart to be patient and persistent and persevere. It takes a heart.
Amen.
Not just a good character. It takes a heart. So the first thing is one. Every saint, starting with us, Lord, give me a fruit or I die.
Amen.
How about Hannah's prayer? Lord, I cannot live without bearing a fruit as a branch in your vine, in the vine. Deal with the Lord. And pray that way. Trust me, this kind of prayer, Hannah's prayer, will what? Please the Lord and bring forth answers.
Amen.
Because you're not praying for yourself. I hope not, so that you have a feather on your cap. No. We're not doing that. We're genuinely wanting to save someone and bring someone to the Lord for his increase and for his expression.
Amen.
That kind of a pure heart, if every saint would have one. Lord, this year, Lord, give me one. You think the Lord would say, get out of here? You think the Lord would do that? Get out of here. I don't like that kind of prayer. When you pray, Lord, give me a new house, I'm not so sure. The Lord would be happy. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But if you pray for a soul, you think the Lord will reject that prayer? We are, okay. And tell the saints, this is priority. This is not optional. When the sky is good, I feel good, then I go bear some fruit. No, rain or shine, this is our duty. This is our life. This is our burden. So it starts with one. That one has to pray to the Lord, deal with the Lord, and even start to have names. That doesn't take long. Next week, you can have names. Right? You don't need to be a perfect saint. You just start. All these things I talk about, we can start right away. You don't need to be so spiritual. You just need to have that burden and heart. Number two, the second tier is twos and threes. And that is, we all, the saints, in a healthy situation, would always, it's always good or better to have a companion. This is all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible. The twos and threes is a divine number or divine human number. I always say this. Even God is three. Why wouldn't God be one? Well, essentially, he is one. But economically, he's three. And even they consult with each other. Am I right? Let us make man. There's someone to talk to. Am I right? Within the Godhead. You understand what I mean. No, I'm not joking. When Jehovah came to see Abraham, there were two angels. God has his vital group showing up to visit Abraham. I'm not joking, because they were going to do something. In fact, they were going on their way to what? Judge Sodom and Gomorrah. On the way, he knew that Abraham, this righteous man, there's Lot, you know, his what? Nephew, right? There. And he knew that. So he has to pass through. And Abraham offered that glorious intercession. And the Lord saved. God wanted that, but he needs a human cooperation. So he stopped by on the way. In fact, the Lord stayed back. The two angels went forward to Sodom and Gomorrah. My point is, we all need Paul. He had Silas. Paul was not alone. Paul was never alone. He always had someone, his co-workers, with him. And there's too many stories in the whole Bible. Okay, Daniel, am I right? Daniel and his companions. He didn't know the dream. He didn't know how to interpret. So what? So he get his companions together. Let's pray. So he got the answer. So tell the saints to find a companion or two. And they don't need to spend a year to find a companion, okay? There's just natural companions. Not by our, you know, this is not socializing. This is not just by our kind of a natural preference. But the Lord arranged certain ones, and he put some feeling in our heart. In your neighborhood, in your small group, there's a companion or two whereby that during the week you can call and pray together and stand with one another and each bring out their names. It's very hard by yourself to kind of be motivated all the time, but with two or three, You pick up each other, right? Isn't that in Ecclesiastes, right? Two is better than one, and a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. All this shows the importance of a companionship. And I don't have the time. In Matthew chapter 18, it's a chapter on twos and threes. The first mentioning of the church by the Lord himself, he talks about two and three times. One in the context of enjoying the Lord and His presence. The second in the context of prayer, binding and loosing. The third in going to recover a fallen one. Each time it's 2 and 3. That is not the church. That is the basic building block in the church life. So tell the saints, don't do it by yourself. You have to start with you, but then you have a companion or two with the explicit purpose to gain fruit, not just to have tea or, you know, what's your birthday, what's my birthday. No, it is to gain fruit. Number three, the small group. I don't have the time. Brothers, the groups are of utmost importance in the church life. All the saints should fall into a group in their neighborhood or according to whatever situation. A church life's strength depends on the strength of the groups.
Amen.
If the group life is weak in a church, that church is weak. But if the group life at that grassroots level, the group is strong, I tell you, that church is strong. You don't need to worry about it. So we need to spend time to build up the groups. Now, many churches today have groups, but I tell you, a lot of those groups are not working. They are old groups. They are non-fruit-bearing groups. They are barren groups. They just exist so that we can eat together in a house once a week or have love feast or something like that. That's not a group. That's just a little gathering. The group is a entity, a little entity. Not a permanent one, but an entity of a number of saints. You say, how many saints? I would say start with 4, 5, 6. And it will, the larger end, I would say 12, 13, right? But I tell you, by the time you get to 15, you better start to multiply into 2, because it's not a small group anymore.
Amen.
It is a big group.
Amen.
The small situation, and I always say, a small group, it's best if it can fit around a dining table and it can fit into a van. Well, you say, what size van? Transit or Sprinter, right?
Yeah.
You get my point. That means a group is mobile. The group is flexible. A group can do many things together. This group is not just Friday night, Saturday night. This group actually, it's a social group in the Lord. They do things together. They look out for each other. They provide that. They are that little household to beget children and foster the children in it. This group is, and let me say this again, this group does not exist for you and I to enjoy the ministry.
Amen.
This group exists to gain people.
Amen.
And to retain people. And as it's a station. It's a gospel station. It is also a gateway for new ones to slowly come into the full church life. Every saint should have a vibrant group life in this way, according to the geographic situation and so on. I think the brothers need to have a thorough look at their church in terms of the group condition. Some really need to have a change. Some have been too long together. Some have been just barren, doing nothing except coming together to eat and have mutual celebration. No. Where are the new ones? I tell you, am I right, brothers? I've been meeting with Ken in our group for the last 20 years. I can finish his sentence, and he can finish mine. He does not need another prophecy from me. to tell him how wonderful Christ is. Neither do I need to listen to him. Because we've been together for 20 years. This group is dying or dead. It has no purpose. One day, he brought a new one. Suddenly, our group dynamics change. Suddenly, smiles come back. Hairs start to grow, right? Suddenly there's meaning. Suddenly there's meaning to our group. The happiness comes from new faces. The reason why a lot of our groups, even our church life, is unhappy, not exciting, there's no new ones, no babies, no fruit. It's just still you and me talking the things that we all know already. Why do we need to do that? Why don't we take the time to go out and tell people who have never heard of them? You know, Washman, he one time said, our Lord's Day service, Lord's Day Christian service, is a custom of the nations. That means the denomination. He even had the thought that on Sunday we should break that, and we don't meet in that way. We may break bread in the evening, but otherwise during the day we go and preach the gospel. We don't have Sunday morning service. That's a custom of the nations. Yeah, he said that. New ones. We need more fresh blood. New faces. Smelly, stinky people. We smell too good. You understand what I'm saying? But yet unhappy. Proper, but unhappy. Because we have no children. So a small group also exists to nurture people, to perfect people, to gain people and retain people for the church life. And finally, we have the top tier. It's called district/church. Because some churches are small, like a district size. What is a district size? 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, right? Somewhere around there. It depends. Nowadays, I shouldn't say too much, but in China, in some places, it's illegal to meet with even more than 12. It used to be 15. Even with 12, now you need a permit to meet just at one time. Very restrictive. They cannot meet together on Lord's Day, the whole church come together, no such thing. On the street, they don't even know these are saints. They just know they're a small group. That is a particular environment. But my point is, that's the only way they could survive. In that way. Brothers, the small group is key to our church life and to the increase of the church. So you got to labor on that and build up groups that are vital, that are people gaining, and that have new faces and caring for people. All right? Now, the district is a combination of groups. A district may have 3 groups, 4 groups, whatever it may be. Or a church would be that. And, of course, that district meets on Lord's Day. That church district meets for prayer. That district, you know, do different things together. We have a small group that go off to the camp for a weekend. It's a group retreat. It's a family, you see. Sometimes a district would do that. All these are very mobile because they're smaller. And the district, of course, is for testimony, just like a church. It's for testimony. We remember the Lord. We prophesy. We speak to one another. We pray. Right? All this, more or less, at that district level. Now, I'm speaking just general terms. There are small churches the size of a group. Then you have to, you know, go on in that kind of a way. Now, brothers, I speak these things here It's all in the outline. Not just to present to you some kind of structure here, some beautiful structure here. It is a wonderful structure, just like your body. It's actually very organized, your body. People say, organic. Well, you're very organic, right? But is he just a blob here of organic stuff? He is a super organized organism. The higher the life is, the more organized it is. But it is organically organized, not mechanically or robotically organized. So this is the church's organization, if you will, or structure. But my take this, and I'm going to end here, my take this today in sharing this with you is not just to organize your church in this way. We need to labor that way. But I'm going to tell you the underscoring thing that will make this structure alive and vibrant and growing and flourishing is new people.
Amen.
Is fruit bearing. Is gaining the sinners.
Amen.
And seekers and saints. These are my three S. I love these kind of three P's and three S. What is our target? Number one, sinners, the unsaved. It's time we need more unsaved people in the church life.
Amen.
No background, you know. Number two, seekers. Those who are Christians. But no goal, homeless, loving the truth, seeking reality. Number three, saints. Saints, by that I mean dormant, backslidden, weak saints. These are our targets. Full of them all around us if we lift up our eyes. So brothers, I give you a blueprint, which is actually Brother Lee's blueprint. But I still like to say, start with one.
Amen.
Start with yourself. And you can bring one or two with you. And that's your little vital companion. And what you do is you begin to pray for names. And you begin to contact people.
Amen.
You don't need to wait until, you know, this vital group thing is very, the saints, after 3 years, they say, I'm not vital enough. After 3 years, they are not vital enough to be a vital group. I have an answer to this saint. You just go and talk to somebody, you'll be instantly vitalized.
Amen.
So it works both ways. You have to be vital to gain people, but you better go and contact people to be really vitalized.
Amen.
We all have that testimony, am I right? We're dead. Then we go and touch people. We're not even ready. Then we come alive because we have to say something, you know. At least we have to pretend we have something to say. And that enliven us because we got out of ourselves. Brother Lee say actually a lot of our saints' spiritual sickness is not problem sickness. It's not that. It's too much self-introspection that brings in a spiritual depression.
Amen.
Too much navel gazing.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
I know this is very general, but you have to go, just start doing it. Just start doing it. And encourage some saints to do it. And fellowship with the brothers and sisters about it. Build up your group, right? Adjust your group, right? With this kind of a view. We'll, in the future, we're going to do more. The brothers yesterday had fellowship and have a burden that we may do in November, what do you call it? Small group core saints training. It's just a 12-hour affair. No evening, just one day, maybe even 8-hour affair. I like the idea. You say, who are the core? Well, if you say you're the core, you're the core, all right? The burdened ones,
Amen.
Brothers and sisters. And we will really talk about how a small group works. and the different aspects of a group life, not just the meeting on Friday. I'm not going to talk about what food you're going to cook to have the best small group. I told you the story of my... I better finish here. Did I tell you the story of my going to a brother's house? I told you that story, right? In Irvine. This years ago, I was deeply involved in the trenches, in the campus work. So a group of brothers, college in UCI, invited me, Brother Minoru, to their house for dinner. Oh, this is a big deal. You know, brothers inviting me for dinner. So I almost fasted too. So the day came, I went there, and I was early. Nobody was there. I went to their house. It's the brother's house, so it's kind of open. Nobody's there. There's no food. There's nothing. I was saying, what is going on? Okay, soon they start to file in, kind of just, and they look at each other and say, oops, we forgot about it. But in their embarrassment, I was already there hungry, right? So they went over down the street to Taco Bell and bought a bunch of these kind of, by the time they brought it there, lukewarm chicken taco or soft taco or something like that. Just a pile of these, each in their individual little thing. And for drinking, they found some milk powder. They don't have milk. Oh, milk powder, and using tap water, they make some. These are brothers, okay? So that night, we were eating cold chicken soft taco and drinking powdered milk. You know, I tell you, I don't know how I felt. I was not ready to cry. When I say cry, I don't mean cry in sadness, like, what is this? But cry, I was very happy. I was very touched. I was very inspired because you guys are just some kids, you know, just college brothers. They forgot, I mean, and yet they would do something like this, and in their feeble effort, some meal that is almost unedible. But I got cherished. So saints, it's not about fancy food. It's not about all of that, brothers. It's about the heart. It's about... So anyway, I just wanted to say that to you, okay? Let us become the people's church. Amen. There's such a church in Toronto who gave all their money to send missionaries out, and they only have old furniture for decades and decades. All the money go to support missionaries to gain people. And that's Oswald Smith. Oswald Smith. And Brother Lee, in 1958, in his first trip here, visited specifically the People's Church in Toronto. And he cannot stop talking to us about how he admired that church, pouring out for souls and just living on, you know, kind of old furniture and this and that. I visited it later on when I went there. Let our local churches be people churches. Amen. We're not so fancy. We're not this or that. But we got a heart in here. It's beating. And it's beating with a lot of stuff, including God's economy, including so many things we know. But we are not looking at ourselves. We're looking at the need of all those around, those who need a real jubilee. Shall we do that? Amen. Brothers, don't wait. We can just do it. Don't have big, make big plans and draw org charts. You don't need to do that, all right? We have enough. And we'll give you more material, right, that you can get into to help you. Let's have a break for 15 minutes. 10 minutes. All right? We come back.